Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The VC Show, let's go.
What's up, what's up? This is VC with the VC Show, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. And you see who I have here. K-Lo, Kyle Lowry, Toronto's own. Well, he's one of Toronto's own because, there's Drake too, but he is Toronto's own. He played like 20 years in Toronto. My bad.
Hey, that's
nine years. Okay.
The original, we're on with the original all lifetimer Toronto Raptor, greatest Raptor.
Okay. Kyle, appreciate you as always. I mean, you know what it is when we get together, obviously, on the golf course. And,
never know what you're going to get.
You never know what you're going to get. And I just felt like, it was time. I mean, I know, you're in Miami, but obviously our paths crossed because, of our times in Toronto. But we want to talk about a couple of things first, like that hat of yours, and explain to the people. Yeah, boy, I keep it close. So for you guys who don't know this, Cal has a golf bag line called Custom 7, and I was honored and given the opportunity to be a part of his starting seven, meaning guys that he wanted to kind of represent his line. And we created this unreal piece here of my career, basically. And we were playing in Tahoe. I'll show the other side too. Sorry. We were playing in Tahoe. And then.
So, my favorite. I know. The favorite part of the bag, the shoes, and then the Sydney. If y'all can't see it,
2000.
The Sydney up top, 2000, yeah. The gold medal. Now, I think that's the favorite part of the bag and the shoes. We all know the boys. That's just my favorite part of that bag.
But yeah, last year we talked about this, and it might have been 2 years ago, but maybe it was last year. But we talked about it, and finally got with your guys, and we created, we came up with some cool ideas. And it's one thing, like we said before, talking about it and seeing it on in an email and whatnot, and actually seeing this of you presenting that bag, and I use it in Tahoe, and it was just one of the dopest things, man. Tell us about how that started, how you were introduced it. I know for a fact, and I think a lot of people know your love for golf. You're always down for a round of golf, whether it's locally, internationally. But tell us how Custom 7 came about.
So Custom 7s came about, after we won a championship. I have my former Adidas rep, now one of my partners in Custom 7, Madison Orangedale. She was like, I want to get him a gift. I want to get you a gift. And, she talked to some people, and she got a guy, Bram Goldstein, which you know, Bram, my other partner. And, you know, he's very creative. He's did a lot of things for, you know, Adidas and other companies. And he's like, I'm talking about creative. And, like, honestly, they was like, I want to get you a great gift. She was like, I want to get you a gift. I think it'd be awesome. I know you love golf. I didn't know what the gift was until I got it. And I'm going to grab it, honestly.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to grab it real quick because it's in my office. A little bit bigger, but it's, you know, the original Custom Sevens golf bag. It's huge. It's massive. It's the trophy. It has my logo, the original Raptor on it. You know, it's a bunch of stuff on here. But that was the, it was like the trophy, right? It was
right.
It was basically the trophy. It was a gift to me, you know, that she wanted to give for me. And it was like, wow. And it was completely customized by her. And, you know, and then during the COVID year, Bram, you know, came up with an idea like, hey, you know, I want you to be an ambassador. I want to start a golf bag company. I think it's something that where it's different. I want to tell the story of the person making the bag. I want to tell that story. I don't want it to be a bag at blah 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 with your name on it. I want to tell the story of what this bag means, mm-hmm. what this bag is, what it means for this person. And I was like, I don't want to be an ambassador. I want to be an investor. I want to be an investor of this because I believe in it. It's a passion project. It's fun. It's something I enjoy. It's something different, right? You know, you have customized bags and, you know, but this bag, it takes time. It takes
effort. It's different. It's different.
You know, when we did this bag, that was just a gift, and we kind of just – and Bram, and we sat down and we got on the phone and was like, listen, let's do this. If we're going to do this, let's do it. Let's figure out how to do it. And it's been a process. Like, we're slow rolling it. We don't want to be a flash in the pan. Like I said, we're still working on – we just got your bag. You know, it took a little while to get you guys connected, get us all connected to get your bag. But we're not –
but once we got done, bro, it was like it seemed like that. And they held off – it was done, and they held it off for me till I got to Tahoe. Yeah.
We wanted to be like special, and you know, we made a few bags, and we made a couple bags for some other
tell them clients. Steph, I saw Steph. Steph's bag
like,
is sick.
I don't like to talk about it, but we made Steph a bag.
Yes,
and if he ever, you know, he wears Curry brand, but I felt like when he broke the 3-point record, and me and Steph were good friends, and one thing about, you know, NBA and golfers, we're all, you know, we like it's like
intertwined.
Yeah, for sure. it's a fraternity of us, right? Our league is a fraternity, but then you got the golfers inside of that our fraternity, and no matter past, present, you know, hopefully future NBA/golf players, you know. So Steph and I have always had a good relationship, and I was like, I want to make him a bag, and that bag by far is the best bag we've made. I mean, I have five bags, your bag, but Steph's bag. If you guys can just imagine, the side of the bag has
like
1-3 with a cross. So we have every 3-point shot
that he's made.
That he's made to break the record, you know, until he broke the record. And, you know, put his kids' names on it and, you know, champ, 3-time champion. Now, I told him I had to make him a new bag because now 4-time.
4-time, right.
So I was like, I got to make you a new bag. But, you know, he hasn't worn it yet, which I don't care. But it was a gift from, you know, myself, my company, to him as a friend. And so that's how the bag company came about. Like I said, it's a passion project. It's fun. And when we gave you your bag is the reaction I care about. You know what I mean? Like, if you guys, I don't know. I have the video and I'll get the video sent to you guys. And he looked at the bag and it was like him and his caddy Marcus was looking at the bag like, yo, this is crazy. And that's the story that you want to tell. That's the, you know, anybody can make a bag and put your name on it. But
yeah,
you, if you look at your bag, you got your seasons, you have your points, your rebounds. You know, I don't, not many assists. Not many assists, but it's a
chill, bro. Chill. Stop that, man. I told you about that. Just because you got like 13 assists in Raptor history to my 3. I ain't forget that.
Like, yeah, I mean. So, and we put, you know, we wanted to put his teams on there. You know, we put the, you know, his.
You see, we had to put both sides with that, right? Teams, right?
That's
it's cool.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Oh, eight of them.
we got his high school right there. You got it. Yeah. We put his high school. We put the, you know, even though I can't really support the that school, but we got that
school, school down.
Yeah, that that. Yeah, I won a national championship against you guys. You know,
well, whoa! Your school, your school, your school. Yeah, we won't talk about that because I was there too. And then, hey, but he and then, will you actually say this time?
What's that?
You actually did me another solid, and put my favorite NFL team.
I like Tom Brady. So,
who does he play for?
I wish he played for the Eagles.
But he plays for
the team, the
Buccaneers. The Bucs, I got you. Oh, the what?
Buccaneers, you know, the Buccaneers, something like that. No,
wow. My Bucs, Tampa Bay, baby. Shout out to the Bucs.
Yeah, you know, shout out Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But that's how the bag company came about, man. It's just, you know, it's something that we just have fun with, and whenever we get it going, and we're, you know, we're trying to make it where, you know, we're slow rolling it, and we want it to be people that we want to have it. Then we put it out to the public and let it be accessible to everyone. So for right now, you know, we just looking forward to getting a couple more bags to the, you know, our starting seven, and you know, some of my friends, and you know, just building the brand.
Well, I want to take a roller coaster ride. I know, and ladies and gentlemen, work with us because this is how it happens and how it works when I'm with K-Lo, as far as like how we talk, how we operate. We talk golf, then we talk sports and everything else in our life. That's just how it goes. Yes, so I'm going to start there, and then hopefully everybody falls in and enjoys the conversation. But when did you start picking up golf? Like, I mean, you talk about the camaraderie between athletes in all sports, like Tahoe. We played in Tahoe for a lot of years, and we have some cool memories and some great stories for everybody. Particularly my favorite is, you know, every year on the first tee, you know, how we act. It's like you've been in championship moments, I've been in big games, been at the free throw line, it's whatever, you invite it. But it's something about being on the first tee, and they introduce you, and you got to give that wave, that nod, or whatever it is you do, and then stand over the ball and hit it down the fairway. Like, talk about that. Like, you know, first of all, talk about when you started and where you are as a golfer, because I think it's cool to see, like, that doesn't happen when you're just playing arbitrarily, like just randomly playing. But when you're playing in a tournament like that, it's totally different.
Yeah, so You met Dave this through my high school.
Yeah.
Played golf with him, you know, older gentleman. You know, he's playing golf is, you know, a long time. So, as you know, when you first get in the league, shout out Dave. All you do is work out when you get in the league. All you do, you 20. I was 20. I got in the league my rookie year. 20. I was 21. 20, and all I wanted to do was work out. That's all I did. And Dave's like, yo, you gotta do something else. And at the time, Tiger was a video game. So I was, you know, at the time,
Max,
I was
20. Yes.
I was playing a video game. You know, you get that. Everybody who's watching this that played the Tiger Woods game, and I don't know if Rory's game has it, but it has that, like, perfect shot. And it's
not quite the same. It's no, not quite the same, but yes.
No. So I played the game just as I was a Tiger Woods fan. You know, I was like, man, I'm supporting Woods. So he's like, you gotta get a hobby. So he's like, just come play golf. I love Tiger Woods. So I'm like, I watch golf, and everyone at the time growing up loved Tiger Woods. So we went out to a course, public course, Indian Creek in Jersey. And so we go play. And I'm not that great now, but I was trash. I'm okay right now. Listen, I was trash. That Saturday, I played like I was. All right, we'll talk about that later. I was trash. I couldn't hit the ball up the tee.
Right.
But it was that one shot that, you hit two, three bad shots, then you hit one good shot. You hit five, six bad shots, you're ready, frustrated, then you hit a great drive.
Something that brings you back, sucks you right back in.
And then you make a putt or something like that. You just, and like, yo, I got it. And then, so I just kind of fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, you know, throughout the first couple of years in the league, because my passion and my my progression of my life and my career was more focused on basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, basketball was like, yo, this is gonna be my moneymaker. Like, you know, and I tell people all the time, like, listen, business will come, you know, and I was so focused on basketball, like basketball. But I sporadically, you know, threw in golf here and then golf here. And then at the time, TaylorMade was with Adidas. So I was getting free clubs, you know, I was getting free gear, and you know, I was just trying it out. And then I kind of just started to take it up and started to play. And, you know, in Memphis, I would go out and play, and Dave and I was watching it. And Dave would come down, we'd go play in Memphis. Then we, you know, I got traded, and we would go play in Houston, better weather. And I just got into it. And you just love golf. And it's just like something like, yo, I could play this game till I'm 70, 80 years old. And the fact that I'm on the course and I'm watching gentlemen, older gentlemen, you know, drive the ball 200 yards,
hit the center of the fairway,
hit their second shot, 195. The hole is 410. That's 395. They chip it close and tap in for a par. And I'm driving the ball. I'm dropping three out of bounds. And I'm dropping five. And I'm trying to hit it over the tree and hit a cut in the draw. And I'm like, yo, this is – and the fact that you can play a game with a man that's 30 years older than you, 10 years older than you, 10 years younger than you, which my son will be much better golfer than I am. You know, I'm trying to set myself up so when it happens, everyone knows.
You've already put it out there. I understand.
I'm getting lessons and you know, it's just, it was just, you know, that love, and it's like basketball. And as I got older and as I got more mature, and I was just like, yo, this is a great game. And I'm not, you know, I'm still lifting weights. It's not pounding on my body. And people may think golf isn't an athletic sport. You kind of use your athleticism. And if you guys never walked a course,
ooh-wee,
go walk a course and play a round of golf anywhere.
Hey, I tell people all the time, walk a course as a bad player. you feel what I'm saying? As opposed to a good player. Good players, they're going to, you know, if, you know, par fours, you're gonna hit it straight, whatever. You still, you know, four shots, maybe.
Right.
Exactly. Bad player, not so much.
Yeah, like you can go, you know, it could be Tahoe, Lake Tahoe, you know, Edgewood Golf Course. It could be, it's a 4.29 miles, I think, I walked it one day. Or it could be a 5.5 if you're going right, left, up, you know.
Yeah, man.
It could be a long walk.
If you have to scramble.
And yeah, basically, oh, we play a shamble. I like a shamble better. I like shambles. But that's why I started playing golf. And to your second point of, there is nothing more intimidating than a golf shot as a non-professional golfer. And they like,
I don't care how much golf you play.
In the first, that six time, whatever, how many all-star, gold medalists, blah, 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 da, da, da. And a guy, and there's one guy out there that does like the little rhyming. From North Philadelphia, born and
raised. Yes, yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And the fans laugh, and they like, hey, and they go, and you got to go here. And it goes like this.
Silence.
And you step up to the ball. And I'm going to just tell y'all so I don't know if he ever told y'all. I don't know. So Vince, first year, you know, I'm like, yo.
Oh,
you know,
my God, yeah.
I said, yo, you know, make sure you put Vince in my group, you know, whatever. So we go off. You know, I go off. We were with Patrick Peterson at the time. You know, Pat was – everybody's like, yo, he's so serious. He's like, I'm trying to win this. And PP, shout out to PP, he was serious, but he actually was, you know, relaxed a little bit. He hit like a
driving iron. You remember it was a driving iron.
And that joke was like, right? So I go, and this is our first time, you know, so I hit an iron, like a five iron.
I'll never forget it. It was a five iron.
It's not an iron hole, people. Fact. It is not an iron high. So I hit an iron, I hit it in the fairway. Vince goes, and they do Vince Carr, you know, Miss Half Man, Half Amazing, blah, 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 everybody. And I'm standing back there like, all right, you know, just swing easy. You know, me and Vince have played rounds before. Like, you know, I'm like, yo, Vince, like, you know, I'm cheering for him in my head. Like, you know, take your time, swing easy. Vince goes, takes it back, swings hard. Poof. Ball goes right into the, just into the, you know,
that right tree, yeah.
Goes in, whatever. I'm like, ah, shoot. oh, okay, you know, it's, you know, all right, we'll get it back. So we walking down the fairway, everybody, me, Vince, PP, Herm Edwards. I don't know if anybody knows him.
Oh, yes.
He's like, I see all you suckers, you guys using irons, you guys are, and I'm like.
He calling us all kind of names.
All kinds of names. Names that I'm not going to say on this
yeah,
show.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Family-friendly show.
Yeah.
And I'm
just
going, but I'm like, coach, you going to call us
like,
all
that's the curse, like, out loud,
yeah.
Bro?
Yeah, but, you know, I was in the fairway, Vince, you know, that first hole.
I was in that first, yeah, it was terrible.
We figured it out, but if there's nothing, I played in front of 40,000 in the Syracuse Dome, and I played in championship game, and I played in gold medal games, and nothing compares to that shot. And I always ask my caddy, I was like, "You think professionals get like that?" He's like, "Yes, all the time." So I don't feel as bad, but
right, they don't show it. They don't show it. How'd you feel this year?
I felt the same.
It's just this is how it goes, man.
Doesn't matter how many. This is my fourth year, and shout out to the American Century Tournament, NBC. Yes. Thank you guys for inviting us,
man.
And
straight up,
letting us come out and
it's yes. My answer is yes already for the email that they send. Yes, I want to come back.
It comes in like, you know, March, February. It yep. doesn't take more than 2 minutes for me to respond. Yes, I'll be there, and then I book my hotel right then. So
yeah,
we're there.
We're there.
So yeah, that's that.
The VC Show is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, but you must be 21 or older. But man, you know, we always talk and have a good time on the course. Like I said, y'all, you don't understand. Like, it's just fun times. But I don't think we've ever had a conversation. I mean, yes, we have, but I don't think we ever had a conversation, you know, in front of, you know, for other people to hear us talk about our time. Our time, and especially particularly your time in Toronto, and right. You know, and I'll tell a cool story, and I know you're gonna remember it. But the one thing, you know, why I have such appreciation for outside of just being friends longer than that, what a proud moment for me is for sure watching you guys win that championship. And I remember sitting up top with T Mac, like, you know, I think back to my years, and you know, the ups and downs, good bad times. Big moments, tough moments that I've missed shots and all that. And Mac was like, I can't believe it's about to be a championship going to Toronto. And
yes,
it was just an amazing feeling. It just gave me chills, and I have chills now just thinking about it, watching it, not only for the city, but for you, because I knew you, and for Nav. For those who don't know Nav's dedication to Toronto basketball from day one. This man, you know, Nav Bhatia, look him up. Super fan, he's known as. This guy has never missed a game until recently. Because I think it was because of COVID. It was COVID.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was
yeah.
his first time. And I'm talking about, when I talk about a man who was heartbroken, and for me, his streak, I was heartbroken for him. I'm sure you know, he checked out of the hospital to make sure he made it to the game. On a game day, because he was sick, and it's just like his dedication. But nevertheless, you know, I remember walking down the arena, and you know how it goes, you know, with me and that. So it gets you know, it's sticky. So I just remember we're walking out, walking on the floor. You had just come back out to sit down and do an interview, and I saw you, and I was proud of you. We talked, whatever. And one of the coolest moments that I had a great appreciation for is that. When I was like, man, I'm proud of you. Good job. You know, enjoy it, whatever. The thing you said to me was like, man, come sit down and do the interview with me. And it was a cool moment, but obviously, you know, and you know what I told you. I was like, nah, I'm not taking nothing yeah, from you your moment. This is your moment, you know, because, I was like, you know, because I didn't want people to really think, oh, he trying to, it was nothing that, it was genuinely happy for you. And I had a great appreciation. And I don't think we ever talked about that or I ever said that, but it was a cool moment because, like, I knew where that was coming from yes. you. I knew where that was coming from. And it's always a debate about greatest Raptor. And it's always a debate about who did this, who did that. And you know me. I say it to you all the time. It's never been said out in public. You are one of the greatest. You are one yes. of the greatest Raptors ever to do it because of what the championship you brought, because you've been there a very long time and what you've accomplished. Yeah, what you've accomplished. You deserve to have that to be in that conversation. You deserve for people to crown you as that. And, you know, it's never been any sweat off my back. You know me. But I don't go on social media to have to do this, but this is my opportunity. Like, you know me. I feel like you are one of the greatest. And I appreciate people saying, oh, no, Vince is because, and I know how you, I know your rebuttal is going to, what you're going to rebuttal back. But you know, they talk about what other guys have done there. You know, I know Bosch and you know, some people give Mac, whatever, but you deserve to be, to, you know, from me, yeah. You know, because I know people always want to hear that. And I don't really go on social media to appease people. But this is my chance for us. Because, we, like I said, we play all the time. But we friends. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I want to just give you your love and your flowers for that, because I feel like you are, you know, right there, you know, up there. I tell people, I tell my family, they're going to do a statue. Why not do a statue of the both of us? You doing what you know, you throwing a lob and whatever, you know, something creative, you know, whatever. But, you know, that's just me.
I say this, and a lot of people don't know how our relationship even started is through Twitter. And I reached out to him. It was basically, I reached out and it's like, man, listen, I appreciate it. Like, everybody will say this, that, and the other. But Toronto was put on the map because of Half Man, Half Amazing. I don't care what nobody says. We you know, we know Mighty Mouse. Shout out to Biggie, my vet. Shout out to Warriors jersey, you know, that was his original jersey that I wore. So shout out to Biggie, you know what I'm saying? You know, Dame Sotomayor, one of my real life vet, still up to this day, someone I appreciate the most. But Toronto really was put on the map from Vince Carter. And we have a mutual friend that we talk about all the time. It's Alvin Williams. You call him
Al. Bull, shout out to Al the Bull. Yes, shout sir. Shout out to
Al, as always. And I just feel like, you know, Toronto, and you said it was for the city, and but it's for the country of Canada.
Facts.
You know, I said that in my interview and on my post game, and I said, shout out, Toronto, we bring it home. Canada, we bring it home. And if you guys don't know, Canada is
massive. Literally
massive. And to this day, I'm sure Vince can't go nowhere without a Canadian say, Vince Carter, I'm from Canada. And it's just the passion that they have for their sports and for what we've done, what we did. And the reason I asked you to do the interview, and it wasn't because of, like, it was true, genuine love. Like, yo.
Facts. I know.
It was because, like, why wouldn't I have the man, one of the people that helped, that really put this thing on the map? Man, come on, man. I got Vince Carter. That's my, first and foremost, that's my friend. Mm-hmm. That's my boy. That's my homie before all this. But second, he probably is the reason. He's the greatest rapper to me. You know, yeah, everybody will say it, but he put this thing on the map. Yeah, we got DeMar, you got Kawhi, you got Bosh, you got Dame, you got a lot of, you know, Mac, you got Mac, all these people that say was this, that, and the other. But if it wasn't for you, Toronto would still be, you know, Drake with the six eye, you know, it might, but you put it on the map, and we appreciate that. And that's why I said, yo, come to this interview. It's because I'm able to say, yo, don't forget about this guy. Don't forget about this man, what he did. You know what I mean? Like, don't forget about the time he put in his organization, the sweat he put in his organization. Yeah, it may not have a fairy tale ending, but that's business, that's basketball. No one dwells on that no more. And, you know, me and you have plenty of conversation. Mm-hmm. I'll say this, and I don't know if anybody ever knows besides the people that I tried to get Vince back with us at one point. I wanted Vince, and I was trying. You know,
we had conversations.
We tried to get it done. It didn't work out. Business, you know, didn't happen. You know, whatever happened, and it didn't work out. But I was like one of the biggest advocates to try to get him back in Toronto, and Vince was all in. So any people that think Vince wasn't all in coming back to Toronto is bogus. We was working on trying to get that done. Now, just so everyone knows. We were trying to get that done, and we'll keep, you know, like I said, business is business. It didn't work out. I think the biggest thing for me is I was there 9 years playing for
15, 12.
Yeah, 9, 15, 22, you know, all that stuff. And I said this, and I've gone on record, and I'm going on record again. I will retire as a Toronto Raptor. 1 day contract, 1 week contract. Maybe I'll get like a 10-day. They can give me a little bit more extra, you know, the way the cap going up at the time. You know, hey.
Thank you. You're thinking.
Hey, I still can do this now.
Oh, man.
And I will, like I said, because that's the place that I grew. the most as a man, as an individual, as a basketball player, as a father, as just a overall human being. And you could say the same, because that's the situation where you grew. And, you know,
it allowed me to take the next step because of what I endured and was a part of. Yeah. And being in the forefront as a player. And they were like, oh, but he did this. I mean, I played with a different point guard. I played with Jason Kidd, guys. Like, what are you talking about? That man made the game easy, but I learned how to be a player. I learned how to. I grew up there, you know, as an adult, you know, as a young man to an adult. So
to an adult,
right? Yeah, and it was just, you know, like I said, it's just the business of basketball, and it's skewed in some people's mind, and that's a topic for another day. But you know,
yeah,
like the love, like it.
Jason Kidd's a golfer too. He's a golfer. Big golfer. Yeah, but yeah, like I said, the Toronto thing, and like I said, we as guys that – as men who play for that franchise, play for that city, play for that country, it's something that we do take pride in. And it's something that me winning a championship in 2019 wasn't just for me. It was for everybody that helped that get there, because no one, including myself, before I got to Toronto, would ever thought Toronto would get a championship. And that was my goal. And I said this a long time ago in one of my interviews when I first signed there. My goal was to win a championship, be a part of that franchise, and help it and continue to grow. Now, like I you know, you guys know Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, OG. Those are my guys. Those are my little brothers. Like they, to this day, I still talk to. I talked to Freddie 2 days ago. I seen Pascal recently. You know what I mean? Like I still, because I did pour so much into that franchise, I want to see them be successful in general. When we play them, I want to win, of course.
Absolutely.
But I want that franchise to continue to get better and to do what he's doing, you know, do what it does. And like I said, real quick, while we talking about that, Bobby Webster, Masai Ujiri, shout him out. You know, I got to shout out LT, you know, Larry, you know, Rogers Bell, because those guys paid me very handsomely and was able to make sure my family and my generational wealth will grow, and they believed in me. And you know, everybody know me and Masai had our up and downs, but Masai is my brother and he's a friend of mine. Yes, we still talk, and I still got some, you know, man, god damn, he should have paid me a little bit more, but he, you know,
he's supposed to.
That's, you know, but like I said, you know, we both appreciate it. And for me, Vince, you set the precedence of how a great basketball player should be in Toronto.
Appreciate it, man. Speaking of, and it was a proud moment for me because I got the opportunity to present Scottie Barnes with the Rookie of the Year. And you talk about, you know, the legacies and what's been built before him, and they go through the stage, you guys win, and you know, down, and it's easy to say down here because they didn't do it back, they win it again, but they have this shining young star in Scottie Barnes, who, like, you watch earlier, it's like, man, this kid got a chance. And then all of a sudden at the end of the year, I felt like it was understood. I mean, yeah, it was some competition, but it was understood that this guy's gonna be the real deal, he's gonna be the next.
I'm gonna age myself a little bit. I've been watching Scottie since he was a freshman in high school, and I watched him a few times. And when I watched him, and I seen him in Vegas because I have an AAU program, Kayla Elite. Mm-hmm. I watched him a few times, and I was like, "Yo, this kid is amazing." And it wasn't that. I don't know if you know people who watch Scottie a long time now. He plays the same exact way with the same passion. Like, he played with that same exact passion that he played with in high school. And I always thought in high school he was a point guard to me because he was a passer. It's not a scorer. Scottie wants to pass the ball. I don't know if anybody knows that. Scottie wants to pass the ball. But to be able to be that guy who will shine bright, has great vets, Fred, Pascal, he has great management, Masai, he has great backing, you know, he has great fan base. The kid's going to be special. And I always thought he was going to be special when I seen him as a kid. I didn't know him. Like I said, I didn't know him at all. Like, I had no idea who he was. Like, personally, I never had a conversation with him. But what he did this year and you being able to present that trophy to him is like,
it was dope, man.
Keep going. the franchise keep going, right?
Yeah.
The city keep growing. The country keep growing and just keep getting better.
Hey, Kay, when the NBA asked me about it, I was like, heck yeah. But I was literally trying to make sure that video was perfect. Because it was just a cool moment, like, to bring back. I literally recorded and recorded and recorded. And I was like, okay, what else? What else y'all need? You sure this, like, it was cool? Because I wanted to make it special for him. It was a special moment, you know, and it was just a fun idea. And they just wanted to do, like, hey, Scotty, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, nah. Let's make it mean something and give some history to the organization, which I don't think for a long time outside of, you know, the glory year. But the years, like the 2019 year of winning. Now they're starting to talk about Toronto like that, all the time. And I wanted to really give some love to, you know, the history of, like you said, keep it going, showing love to the history of the Rookie of the Years. And now he's the next, and bringing the name back to Toronto again. Yeah, it was like, goes away, kind of fades, but it comes back because of that. So it was just a cool moment.
I always said, it's like, you know, everybody always, like, you know, the years that you were there, you guys won games. Like, people don't realize that. Listen, it's hard to win in the NBA. It's hard to win a game every night. It's hard to win in the playoffs. Like, everyone, you know.
One shot. You know what I mean? Like, one shot I had to make.
Like, I agree.
But it was cool. But it was cool to see Kawhi make it.
Listen, hold on. Let me.
Bro, it was cool, man. I was like, hey, man, I'm never going to
say that. Y'all know Vince is my guy. But at that time, I wanted to miss that shot. Because it was against my Sixers. So, you know, I felt bad as I got older and we got closer. I was like, damn, I wish he made that shot. But to see it come true with the Kawhi shot and like everything to kind of come full circle, it really is crazy how everything's kind of come full circle if you think about it, right? Yeah. Like, it's a crazy story. But anyway, that day, first and foremost, you did the right thing by going to get your degree. Don't care.
Sits at the front door of my house every time I walk in, or anybody walks in, they see
that. Listen, I don't care. You made the right decision, and you still did your job and still almost won a basketball game. You know what I mean? Like, one shot. Back rim, you know, long, you know, I ran down the side. And you would have thought we won the championship after one round. You know what I mean? So, you know, like I said, when we go through the years of what we had, and we lost to, I say, listen, we lost to Brian. We lost to a hell of a Cleveland team, like LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love, and we lost. But, you know, we finally broke through. We got a chance, and I mean, we went all in. We won it, and we did it for the city. We did it for the country. We did it for ourselves. We did it for our families and friends. But we also did it for the past, the present, and the future.
Yeah. Let's dig in a little bit. How tough was it for you moving on?
Yeah.
And talk about your time now in Miami, and, you know, what's it been like, and for you, just new opportunity. What I know, I asked this question, but I know it because I covered, you know, I had a couple of games this year, and I had an opportunity to talk to Spo and talk about your influence in Miami, and he specifically talked about you and your influence on the team and how they want to play because of you. But how tough was that to kind of move on?
It was tough. We all kind of knew, though, and, you know, that year, the COVID year, 2021, whatever year, I don't know, all these years blend. You know, I had an opportunity during the season, you know, we started the season off in Tampa. It was a very weird
year. Talk about that as well. Talk about your time in Tampa and transition into that, because I think that's I remember us having a lot of conversations, actually, about you being in Tampa and, you know, a lot of golf, you know. You know, chance to play some good golf, though. But anyway, go ahead.
Play a lot of golf. I remember at Avila, you know, I played a lot of golf.
Yeah, I know how you go.
A lot of golf. But that year was just like, all right, we about to play? All right, cool. I'm moving to Tampa. I'm going to Tampa. Like, okay, hold on. Where are we practicing? What are we doing? And, you know, which was great. Masai, Bobby, you know, Kevin DiPietro, everyone knows us, you know, we don't know. Shout out Kevin, you know, crazy Kevin.
Crazy
Kevin. We all were like trying to figure out what it was between Tampa and Nashville. And we were like, man, Tampa, you know, has a, you know, the setup in Nashville was, you know, nice. But I think guys were like, well, we play in Canada. Let's go to Florida. You know, but it was a setup. The setup was well. It was weird, man. I'm like, yo, I got my kids, like my kids. And it was COVID year. So I had to find a house and find a place to live. I had to, like, you basically like, yo, this is a, like, you're playing in a whole different city.
Did it feel like being... Did it feel like a road game to you, or did at some
every
point
night. Every
so night. At no point it felt like a home game?
Man, we played Boston Celtics. It was, and it's still a lot of green, but it was green in that building, and it was only like 5,000 people in there. It was all green, so it was just a road. You know, we had our families and friends there, but like, okay, we're gonna win this game on the road again, and it was just how we had to do it. And like I said, I found a house, like luckily Jimmy Rollins let me borrow his house, and you know, Jimmy let me rent his house. It was perfect. It worked out. I figured it out. But that year was so tough for us. It was COVID. Yeah, COVID. You had this, that. But that year, you know, at a time, myself and Masai, we sat down. You know, Masai was, we were like, listen, what you want to do? And you know, throughout that, like that year, you know, I was like, man, it was like 20 games in and whatever. I was like, I just want to finish this year with my guys. Like, I told Freddie this early in the year. Freddie Young, I was like, I just want to finish this year as a Toronto Raptor. And I had a chance to be traded. And Masai came to me with some deals and was like, hey, do you want to go here? What do you think about this? And we were on constant communication. And I think we all knew that it was going to be time to move on. And like, At the end of the season. You know, we could have moved on throughout the trade deadline.
Right.
And it was,
right.
But it was like one of them seasons where we were in COVID. We weren't winning. It was tough. We were not home. We just trying to figure it out. And it was like, yo, let me just finish this year out. And, you know, whatever, we'll go. And so Masai, we said, all right, we agreed. And we knew what it was. We kind of knew what it was going to be. Freddie was emerging. And for me, I'm the guy that's like, listen, I understand. I want the next guy to break all my records. Come on. And if you guys don't know, I love Freddie. That's my little brother. I'm passionate about him. Don't care. Like, I want him to break every record. I want him to get paid. I want him to do
everything.
He balled out.
He balled out.
And he had an all-star year, right? And then for me, I'm like, yo, let me – listen. Oh, what? Yo, little bro, it's your time. I'm out. I'm going to get out your way. So it was very tough and difficult to move on because it was an unfamiliar situation. But I always had a fond, you know, relationship with Spo, because me and Spo, we was in NBA Africa years before, and we kind of just hit it off. You know, he had his young son who, you know, shout out to him, you know, cancer-free. He's in remission. I don't know if you guys seen that. Shout him out. Yeah, that the Spoelstra family, I'm super, you know, so happy for that, you know.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Me and him had a prior relationship, so me and Spo, you know, I've always like had a fine, like, and I probably now like him coaching me. Man, I can't imagine some of the stuff he said about me. I can't imagine. So I act like I played for him the whole time, but Spo is one of a kind, people, and he's really good. But the influence that he basically, and I tell you. We had a meeting in Vegas when I first, you know, agreed to the deal we signed. I said, look, listen, coach, I understand the Miami Heat culture. I understand the Miami Heat way. I do. But I was like,
I remember this conversation. That's why I'm laughing. I remember you telling me this.
I said, but I'm a grown ass man. I'm just a grown man thing. So, you know, you go, but Spo was so receptive and so like, I appreciative of it because I never do anything. I never did anything that harmed what they did, harmed or with the Heat culture. But it at some point, like, you know, we changed the way we played. We changed the way we acted. You know, it's more, you know, if you look at Miami, you think it's like, man, it's not. It's fun. Spo's actually makes bad jokes, but they're fun. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we got Malik Allen. You know, we got Chris Quinn. We got Caron Butler.
I play with Malik. Ace, I know
we got
Malik.
Anthony Carter. We got Anthony Carter. You know, we got guys, and like, you know, we have fun guys. And one thing about them is they find these guys, the undrafted, the guys that are, and they try to, then they make them into players, but they get a little uptight. So my job this year, I was like, listen, I'm not that player. I'm in the locker room. if I see something funny on film, I'm laughing. And this song where something on film, you know, Miami culture, like you would think, no. It's like, nah, I'm a laugh. And Spo and our organization was so receptive, and we won 50 games for the first time since Bron. You know, and it's a testament to this, them, everybody being on the same page basketball-wise and off the court. No one was uptight. You know, we came within one shot, possibly, of Jimmy making a shot to make it into the finals, and, you know, us being hurt, whatever. That stuff happens. We lost to the team that beat us. They were better than us. They beat us, and that's that. But, like, Spo basically let me play, and like, he said, Kyle, all I want, I said, Spo, you tell me what you – he said, I want us to be more up-paced. I want us to do this. I want Jimmy to – and my goal was to just, okay, cool. Let me figure out how I can make Tyler Hero better. I can make Bam Adebayo better. I can make Jimmy even more of a superstar. I can get Duncan Robinson going. And these undrafted guys, Max Strus and, you know, Caleb Martin coming on the two-way. Gabe Vinton, that's my – not.
I watched him. I watched him in the Olympics, bro. I watched him in the Olympics.
I'm not saying that's like, but that's the next, hey, listen, come on. I'm going to give you all this game. Listen, this is what you do. I don't want to, I want every little knowledge that I can possibly pass on to Gabe. I gave Freddie, and I still give Freddie whatever, like, game I talk to him. I give Gabe, listen, what are you going to do? Like, you know, let's go work out. I see this. And these guys, these undrafted kids, these two-way guys, they're just finding this niche and finding themselves. And all I can do as a pro is help them. And that's all I want to do is help them. Because at the end of the day, I want them to be able to provide for their family like I've been able to provide for my family.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app ever, and honestly, the only one you need. It's not just about the big bonuses and boosts and promos that you get. It's the fact that every time you bet, whether you win or lose, you're earning towards the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. That's because when you download the Caesars Sportsbook app, you become a Caesars Rewards member, and that means perks. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
You mentioned Jimmy, and you know, you laugh it because there's a couple of things. Jimmy and his braids, Jimmy and his cookies, Jimmy and his coffee. Go. Jimmy and his braids.
On. Which one? The new braids, the dreadlocks that he got?
The both. Did you see so them? When you see him with the locks, I heard about him. I didn't see him yet. I heard about, okay.
My man, my dog, my brother. I talked to him on FaceTime on Tuesday. I believe it was Tuesday. And I said, what the? He said, he's on fire, yo. This, you know, it's fire. He said, you know, I said, bro, come on. I ain't saying nothing. I said, you bugging. But, you know, Jimmy, if you know Jimmy, if anybody in the world knows Jimmy, Jimmy's going to do whatever
Jimmy wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you ever see Dream Girls? When Jimmy got so, you know, that, you know, when Eddie Murphy did the Jazz Jimmy. So Jimmy, with the locks and the braids, Jimmy is Jimmy. Jimmy with the cookies, Jimmy, he does make them. He bakes them.
Yeah, I interviewed him, and he talked about his you know, his passion and how good he was with the cookies. And the, I'm just curious, has he gotten okay? So Jimmy with the
we go bring PJ Tucker on one day. You got and just ask him about the cookies. Just get a conversation with PJ Tucker with the cookies and Marquise Morris. Jimmy would bring it to the table. You know, guys would have the cookies and everything. So he can do his thing with that. Jimmy with the coffee, dog, he got to chill. It's all day. Yo, baristas, iced coffee during anything, walkthrough, coffee after walkthrough, coffee before a game. I don't drink coffee. I don't know anything about coffee, but I will say this. The amount of time and passion that he put into it, he puts into his basketball game also. So whatever he's doing with the cookies, do it. I mean, with the coffee, do it, because he's obviously doing something right. And Big Face is a reputable brand right now. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
no, Face is a he turned it into something for real.
And you got to respect it, because he started in the bubble and he just kind of grew it. And he could tell you about the beans. He can tell you about the beans from Colombia, Costa Rica, the beans from this. I'm like, okay, I don't know what the fuck am I, bro. But
so it's not, it's just not all just talk then. I mean, that means he's doing not research and he's up on it. I like that. I like that.
He's very much passionate about it. Just like I said, it's like my golf, like our golf is his, our golf is his coffee.
Right. Hey, I want to double back on you, something you said about giving game to players, and yeah. I have a question for you, and I'll speak my side of it too. But what's your thoughts on how do you handle hearing your name in trade rumors? Because obviously, the longer you play, you're gonna always hear your name in trade rumors, and you know, if some young guys who get their chance to play in the NBA, or you know, hopefully some players are listening to it, who young guys who listen to it, who are in these situations. How have you handled it over the years? Just always hearing your name in trade rooms. You want me to go? Well, you go first.
Well, for me, the times I've been traded, I'm just being honest. I got traded from Memphis to Houston. I wanted to get traded. Mike Conley was the point guard. He was the franchise. I said, listen, I need an opportunity. I was 23 years old, 22, 23 years old. Like, Mike's good. Hey, listen, y'all picked the right point guard too. Mike did a hell of a job. Mike's one of the, you know, one of my closest friends, good friends. And
another golfer. Very good golfer.
Very good golfer. They picked the right one. They picked the right guy. Like, you know, unfortunately, whatever. I got to Houston, you know, whatever. You know, I had my situation with Kevin McHale. I asked to be traded again. I asked to be traded. Got traded. Toronto, you know, the New York trade, that was done. I was in the house, just how we sitting right here. I had a bag right here to the right, another bag right here. I was just like, all right, we are telling me to go so I can go to this airport, and I'm out. And then, but, you know, that being said, how I handle it is I understand it's business. And, you know, I understood this thing was a business from literally draft night of going into my second year when they drafted Mike Conley. I'm at the draft party, at the Memphis Grizzlies draft party. You know, hey man, you know, kids, we're gonna pay you a couple of dollars to come to the draft party. Boy, oh yeah, I'm gonna interact with the fans. With the fourth pick, the Memphis Grizzlies select Michael Conley Jr. I'm like,
you mean the point guard?
I'm like this. What that mean for me? All right, he four. I'm number 24. Yeah, I know what that means. So I knew about the business fairly early. And like I said, I just tell those guys, listen, how I handle it is I don't pay attention to it. I understand. Listen, it's rumors until it happens.
Yes.
It's rumors until it happens. Yes. And there's nothing you can do about it. If, you know, hopefully you have a good enough agent who's on it and constant communication. But if it happens, it happens. And you move on. I say this, if a team trades for you, they want you. There's a reason they want you. There's a team. It's a reason they trade for you. You take it in stride and you move on. You be a professional, because at the end of the day, you're still getting paid to be a professional athlete.
And then to add to that, you know, a lot of the talk, a lot of times, are scenarios. So people are trying to figure out what you know, what they think work. Half the people who talk about the scenarios don't understand it's not just, oh, I can pick this guy from this team and put him in this time. The money has to match. So it's so many different variables that fall into this. And you know, I tell guys all the time, until you're moved otherwise, you're a part of that team, and you know, you just got to make the best of that until it's over with. Because I was on a team with Alvin. We traded Al to Boston.
Yep. Yep.
Took him off the bus.
Yep.
Traded him. Physical. Failed physical. 2 days later, he's back on the team like, what's up? Hey. It's like, oh, man. So, like I said, it's like, it just, you never know. And I know it's a frustrating thing, because, you know, you hear your name in rumors. I mean, trade talk all the time. You don't know how to, especially if it's the first time hearing your name. Like, it is what it is. And I understand it, but it's just, like I said, sometimes it's trade rumors. It's trade talking, and
so
it is what it is.
You know, and you've been in this business long enough. It's crazy. The rumors and the trade scenarios, honestly, they come from people who make them up. And then the general manager's like, oh, that might work. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where the rumors come from. And people who make it up, they're like, oh, shoot, that could do this. But so you just go with it. Like, everything happens for a reason. I don't even, like, for a guy, if the guy was to get traded, listen, man, you get traded, listen, good luck. Go be a pro. And I used to say this, like, even when, like, Fred and Pascal would get sent down for assignment with the 905, I would say, yo, go show them why you're not supposed to be here.
Why you should never go back.
Why you not supposed to be in the G League or D League. Right. Like, show them. Yeah. And that's when a team, all right, y'all traded me. Cool. I have nothing against you because it's a business. And then we move forward and I'm still a professional athlete. That's the biggest thing. You're still a professional athlete.
I got a question, bro. And I responded to this topic. I'm sure you know where I'm going with this a couple of weeks ago, but what are your thoughts?
I haven't been on social media, but I read it on Hoop Hyper, and so I read it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Just what is your thoughts? Yeah, but now what's your thoughts about, like, you know, what was said? But what was said about, you know, Toronto isn't phone, a
just looking at my phone, like, wait if you let me speak, because...
Okay, cool. About Toronto not being a desirable place for Black or African-American, for black athletes to play. And it's mind-boggling to me because of all the guys that have desired to come play, re-sign there, success there. I have homeboys, Black homeboys who have gone to Toronto and married out of there, like, and who live there. So it's just baffling to me. But anyway, what is your, like, what's your thoughts?
A lot of dual citizenship people, you know, kids being born.
Now they're dual citizens now because of it. So,
yeah, I don't talk about others and, you know, what people say because I don't care to. Don't care to respond to anybody else because I am a Black African American black from 20th and Lehigh, North Philadelphia. I absolutely love Toronto. I absolutely spent 8 years of my career. Yes, there were times like, man, I need to go somewhere else, and it wasn't because of being Black, it was because of the situation. Being Black is, I lived in North York. I seen Black people all the time. I seen, first and foremost, there are more Jamaicans in Canada. The Caribbean culture in Canada alone is ridiculous. And you just appreciate what I appreciate, and it's kind of a melting pot. You know, it's of Canada, and you can find any race, any nationality mixed with any nationality in Canada.
And sidebar,
it's unbelievable.
I have a sidebar for those who are listening, and you're going to agree with this. For those who are listening right now, if you've never had the opportunity to attend Caravana, make that a priority to attend Caravana one time. All right, I'm done. Carry on, Lowry. You were saying.
OVO weekend is this weekend, so you know you guys if you want to go up there,
you know, another sidebar. If you ever get a chance to attend Caravana or OVO weekend, you must do so, and you will learn a lot about Canada and the people of Canada and the culture and what is actually walking around in Canada every day. Yeah, and how many African Americans, aka Black people, who are trying to get into Canada to hang out in Canada.
Just don't have felonies. You can get it if you got a felony. You'll be all right. Outside of that. But like, you outside know, that. Let's go Big Cat, Jamal McGlure, Scarborough.
My guy.
Right? Love Big Cat. What is he? He's Black, Caribbean, Trinidadian. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Trinidadian. He is.
He's Black. I don't care if you from, you know, the islands, whatever.
If y'all get like to know him, you'll see how Black he is.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't need to talk about anybody else, but my personal is I'm from 20th and Lehigh, North Philadelphia. I love Toronto, and I can go back there whenever I want, and I can literally feel very comfortable, not even being who I am, but being a black man. So, you know, that's my take on that. That's my take.
I like it. You handle that very well. Yeah, I did not.
I see the video. Listen, I'm a YouTube guy. Like, you know, you have a YouTube, and it's just everything. So I seen it, and I was like, I didn't even, because I seen a couple of people respond, like, you know, whatever. I don't need, like, I'm not a social media guy. I don't care to talk about other people or talk about.
Yeah, it was more so like the situation was just baffling to me. Like, it's just like, you know.
Have you ever lived there? Yes, there is a toughness because of the loonies and toonies. Or you don't have AT&T or Verizon. You have
Rogers. You have Bell. Yeah, exactly.
You have TSN. You have
Sportsnet.
ESPN. Yeah, Sportnet. You know, not really. I won't talk about TSN. We go TSN Sportnet. TSN. Gotcha. And Roven, if Roven's seeing that, if Roven watches this, he's going to laugh at that. You know, you got, you don't have TNT, you don't have, you know, but other than that, I mean.
You adjusted to it. Like, another lot of things people, like, he talked about was the custom and stuff. Like, it's a pain. In the beginning, but it becomes your everyday routine. It is what it is. It's just like you have a lot of pains in the world, like live in the city, live in New York City, live in Atlanta. Like it's going to be things like, you know, so anyway, and a couple of last things, I want to go back and talk about what was the feeling like for you with your jersey retired? At, you know, that school, you at college you went to. I don't remember. Where did you go to college? All right, but I heard that you got your jersey.
At least I can make my symbol like this. You gotta do. We just V's up. How that feeling was is. That is my home. That is where I am. That is where I currently, I live 5 minutes from campus. And I was fortunate, man. Like, I was fortunate to be able to play with a bunch of guys who, you know, like, you know, really love the game and have passion for the school. And for them to accept me from being a, I don't know what I was a terror back then, and just let me rip and run and, like, you know, just do what I do. And, you know, shout out to Jay Wright, who just officially retired. You know, I wouldn't be, you know, here without him, because, you know, we never talked about basketball. We just talked about, he always told me just to be a legit man and kind of, you know, I live by that. And I don't know if people understand that, but being a legit man, like, yo, like, if you do something, fess up to it. If you have if something happened, just say you did it and move on and, like, take the responsibility of, you know, that action or whatever it is. And, yeah, you might make a mistake. You might piss somebody off. And that's why I always try to tell the truth with when I do interviews or I do things. And I don't, you know, I just be a legit man. So that place helped me. But having my jersey retired was cool. And then being able to, you know, donate money back and get the locker room, you know, named and for a lifetime. Even when I pass away, it'll still be the Kyle Lowry locker room. You know, that's to me, that's a legacy right there. That stuff, not just basketball wise, that's legacy for my kids, my Carter, my Kent. You know what I mean? That legacy is theirs to continue to live on.
Well, congratulations, man. That's what's up. I mean, I'm sure
you appreciate
your college proud, regardless of, you know. You know, your decisions you made to go to college, but I understand why you're from the area.
Hold on. Listen, now, since we on this topic real quick, it would have been that school, but y'all took somebody named, I ain't going to say his name because I don't know, you know, hopefully he's still successful, but y'all took a player. Well, I'll say his name because I don't know him like that. Quentin Thomas. Y'all took Quentin Thomas. Understood. You know what I mean? But I wanted to take a visit. But I was told, yeah, if you want to come to this great school, you got to just commit without taking a visit. Damn, dog, like, can I see what North Carolina is like? But, you know, a guy named Quinn Thomas, he was very good in high school. I don't think he was my level at that time, but, you know, North Carolina took that guy, you know, Ray Felton. You know, Raymond Felton was, you know, the guy, and, you know, I could have been backing up Ray Felton for a year and been my job, and, you know, we did. But, you know, shout out to North Carolina for helping me go to Villanova.
All right, well, we're going to move on from that one. So the topic of Vic has been thrown around at you before, and, you know, I saw, like, the interview with Danny Green. You know, you say you use it to your advantage, but how do you feel about it? Like, does it bother you? Is it a thing? Like, you know, social media, it is what it is, but you ain't no little man.
It used to bother me a lot. It used to get to me. It used to really get to me, I'm going to be honest with you. And now I don't care.
Because I see you trying to throw your weight around on guards all the time, bro.
It actually works for my advantage, like, you know.
Exactly. Like, so it just took. So basically, you're saying it just took some time to embrace what you're saying because you didn't want to hear it like that.
I'm in my office right now, and this is like I'm gonna just be a little bit cocky.
Go for it.
Just a little bit. For me, a man that's never been crazy athletic, thick, whatever. I'm looking at all-time steals, all-time something else, all-time something else, a 2016 Rio basketball. I was supposed to have that, but I got it. I stole it. A couple All-Star rings, bag over there, a couple All-Star basketballs. Yeah, I think it's been good for me. Yeah, I'm cool with it.
Championship.
Listen, just to say a few. Now it's, listen, y'all can create all the memes y'all want.
It's going to happen, bro. That's just the world we live in.
I embrace it. I love it. You know, you guys, the more, listen, they say the more media talk about you, the more it is. So I'm happy. Listen, I appreciate y'all keeping me alive. Keep hope alive, brothers. Keep hope alive.
A couple more things. So I wanted to ask you, and I like to ask guys who's been around for a long, how much longer you want to play, brother?
I'm on Vince Carter. So no,
no. There you go. Just what? So you're saying basically, I'm just gonna go till I'm good.
Until I can't. And when I think, this is how I think personally, is when your brain, you tell your brain something, it starts to do it. So for me, I'll say, listen, I'm going till I can. And why not? Until I don't want to wake up at 5-6 in the morning to go work out.
Put the work in. Yes.
Like I said, I did. I mean, I was late on the show because I was finishing my second workout. And every year, I still find ways to be motivated. And last year, I hear it. I don't respond to it. Like I said, I'm not even. I have my social media. I'm not even on my social media right now, to be honest with you. But I'm kind of. And I only did this interview because you, my man. I'm dark right now.
I know, bro. I know.
I'm out the way. Like I'm cool. I don't need to speak. You know what I mean? You my guy. But like, every year I find ways to motivate myself. And right now I'm even more motivated just because I had a chance to make it to another championship. I'm in year 16. I got one championship. I've been to playoffs a lot, but there's something about that championship that I want another one. It's just what I play for. I played basketball growing up for free. Yes, the money is amazing. I'm telling you guys, thank you. I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. The money, great. But I love hoop. I love basketball. I love the competitive nature. I love to just say I won. And I don't even get excited when I win. I'm more mad when I lose than I'm happy when I win.
Still love it. You still love it. So it's safe to say basketball is still here and golf is right here still. It hasn't done this yet.
It's close. I'm still, basketball is number one. But I got a 10:30 tee time tomorrow, so I got to move my workout up a little bit earlier so I can get back. I move my workout up because I got to get back.
But it's the summer. But it's the summertime, so that's cool. But it's like when that's time, it's kind of right here during the season, that's when it's like –
if it's crazy because in my house, I have a simulator in my house in Miami. So I said my son is, I'm more like trying to push my son to the point of like if he wants to play a little bit. But I use the simulator. You know, we have late nights, right? You know, And you get on YouTube and you be like, hold on, how do I get my shoulder to get back here? Bro. You know, I've been watching, like, you know, we just talk. This is like,
I know it. That's what we do.
I'm on YouTube the other day and I'm watching. I'm like, yo, I got to find a way to get my shoulder to get back. You know, I watched John Daly, and like his club, he can see his.
He can get that jump. I can, yeah.
I think my shoulder, like, just. Like, I'm more worried about this left shoulder than my right shoulder. And my right shoulder
the way you need for the jump shot.
My PT, like, yo, can you work on this just to...
He's like, yeah, let's work on the right shoulder. No, my left. I need to get...
I got to get this.
And then get that hip, though. You got to get that hip, them hips, so it can, you know...
Yeah,
get
no.
Get the ball open up. You know how that goes.
Yeah, we talk about this shit in the course all the time, so...
Yeah. Anyway, man, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate you as always, you're the bro, you're the homie. You know, we it's always a good time when we get together. But thank you very much for joining the VC show. Let's go, everyone. Check us out, man. Kyle Lowry, who's gonna play 20 plus years. I'm calling it now. But until then, we out.
We out. Appreciate you as always, the VC show. Listen, y'all come tune in, watch it. You know, hopefully I lived up to the hype.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.